This is the Disability Visibility Podcast with your host, Alice Wong.
Hey, Fred. It's me, Alice Wong, the host of the Disability Visibility Podcast. Conversations on disability politics, culture, and media. In June 2017, I attended a conference hosted by the National Coalition for Latinxes with Disabilities in Berkeley, California. By the way, if you're wondering what Latinx means, it's a gender-neutral term often used instead of Latino or Latina with an X. At that conference, there was a panel titled Fear, Family, and Deportation, the Impacts of Immigration Policies Under the New Administration, and I learned a lot from it. Undocumented people have always been invisible, and there's little known or written about undocumented disabled people. While immigrants come from every corner of the globe, today's episode will focus on disabled Latinx immigrants and what they're experiencing right now. Joining me are two panelists from that conference, Michelle Garcia and Alicia Contreras. Michelle Garcia is the Latino Community Development Organizer at Access Living, a disability rights organization in Chicago. She's also the organizer of Caminando Vidas, a group specifically for Latinxes with disabilities in Chicago. Alicia Contreras is the executive director of the East Bay Spanish-Speaking Citizens Foundation, located in Oakland, California, that provides resources on citizenship and immigration for the Latino community and other services. Please note there are some technical issues with the sound in this episode. Also, these conversations happened before the announcement by the Trump administration on September 5th, 2017, on the decision to end DACA, also known as the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Are you ready? Away we go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, so Alicia, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in Mexico. I got polio when I was 1 year and a half. And I was very lucky because I had very progressive parents. I was able to have pretty much a very normal, standard childhood, go to school, get a bachelor's degree, and that opened up different opportunities. And then I had the opportunity to come to the U.S. and I opened my eyes to a whole world as a disability advocate. I was working for more than 20 years in the disability world, but then there was the opportunity to be an advocate in the Latino community, so that's what I'm doing now since 2 years ago.
Thank you too, Michelle, for joining us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and your background?
Okay, sure. So, I am originally from El Paso, Texas. Part of my life, I grew up in Texas. Part of it, I grew up in Mexico. My mother is from Mexico. My father was from New York. So, I've been, back and forth between here in the States and then in Mexico my whole life. And as far as my work, I became an activist while I was in college, and I got involved with ADAPT, and then they opened up the position for the Latino community organizing, and 7 years later, it's very much head-on working and we've been growing in Chicago and
Tell me about some of your work with the disabled Latinx community at Access Living in Chicago.
So I organize a group of Latinos with disabilities, and we work around issues of immigration, healthcare, housing, access to housing. We've done a lot of work on ADA stuff because, unfortunately, being that Chicago is quite an old city, so that many businesses and complexes for housing are not accessible. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing this ongoing campaign or fight for access, including hospitals and grocery stores, etc. Mm-hmm. So, something that we've been largely impacted by is immigration issues because, 95% of the group is people who are undocumented. So they're Latino undocumented people with disabilities. And for them, having no access to services because of their lack of status is a huge issue.
Alicia, you're the executive director of the Spanish-speaking Citizens Foundation, located in the Fruitvale neighborhood of Oakland, California, which does all kinds of work with housing and immigration. Tell me more about the work that you're doing in the Latinx community.
Absolutely, yes. Housing is a big, big issue. And right now, as you probably have heard, I mean, the Latino community, as many other communities who are low income, are being displaced from Oakland, and the Fruitvale community still feels very much Hispanic, and there are more than us, who have been present for more than 50 years, serving the Latino community. Like, there's La Clinica, and there is the Unity Council. And there are many other organizations that have been trying to help people to stay and participate in the Fruitvale community.
What are your thoughts on the current administration's attack on multiple marginalized communities, such as disabled immigrants?
Well, it seems like the new administration is kind of like in the times when Hitler wanted the perfect body, the perfect everything, and when you don't fit in that profile, of course you're not welcome. So it seems like really this administration would like to get rid of anyone who costs money to the government. And, the definition of who costs money to the government, as you and I know, can be seen from many different perspectives. But it seems like people forget that actually immigrants are paying taxes and are doing all the things that they are doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, would you be willing to share your own immigration story about the citizenship?
In my case, I was very lucky that I had an organization that sponsored me to come to the U.S. So I came with a visa, a work visa, and that is not the case of many immigrants. So, having said that, I was very lucky that I had the visa. That put me in a small group of people who are lucky to come with a visa and enter the country legally and have a chance to work with a work permit. So some of the people we serve are in that situation and some others are not. So one of the things that I like to point out when I have an interview is that many people don't know that actually entering illegally in the country is not a crime. So that's where a lot of the misunderstanding starts, because since it is not a crime, the police should not be taking people, to the centers and then treating them as criminals, because it is not a crime. You know, it's something different, and it is not a crime.
Michelle, you mentioned earlier that a large portion of the folks you work with are disabled, Latinx, and undocumented. What are some of the things they're telling you?
So they have a lot of fear, and their mental state, like, they have disabilities already, like physical disabilities, and many of them also have developmental and or mental disabilities. Because also, they also come from a place of, you know, in their countries of origin, they have, if they hear they don't have much services, they at least have some support and services or access. But in their countries of origin, they have nothing. Because from their countries, like Mexico or South and Central America, there's very, very little services available to people with disabilities. So this is why it worries them even more to go back to their countries of origin and be left just there, no services or no supports.
It has this fear to force people to change how, to change the way they do things, like are people changing their activities and behaviors?
Yes, most definitely. So, with the people that I talk with, and also the people obviously in my group, so unfortunately, many of them have opted by of not going to their regular checkups at the doctors or going to get medication that they desperately need for, like, diabetes or depression or treatment or going for therapy. They stop attending because of the same fear of having ICE go into these locations, like a hospital, clinic, so on and so forth, and having them be detained.
And how has law enforcement in Chicago has responded in terms of encouraging, you know, undocumented people to, you know, to ask for help, or if they are, you know, there's a lot of people in law enforcement that keep saying, oh, don't worry, we're not going to report you, and yet they still want people to, you know, report crimes and to go for assistance at healthcare, and yet we've seen ICE, you know, round people up, wait for them in front of, you know, community centers. So can you tell me a little bit about, I guess, ICE's living and their kind of working with coalitions and the outreach with, you know, ICE or with the law enforcement in Chicago?
Yes, so we are very happy because just yesterday, after a 3 year or so or more of working with city officials, we were finally able to pass the Trust Act, which is the Illinois sanctuary, and the whole state is sanctuary. Because a few years ago, we were able to get Chicago to be sanctuary, but they were still not being, even you could still be detained depending on where you were. Mm-hmm. And they were also doing racial profiling. Mm-hmm. So there's still that fear factor of going out and going to the doctor or driving or whatever. And now, with this Illinois being protected, we worked much more diligently and closely with the police departments so that this doesn't happen not only in the city but in the suburbs, because in the suburbs, there's a large population of immigrant individuals with and without disabilities, in which there's a lot of people with disabilities that have visited the Centers for Independent Living, such as us or whatnot, or called us that they need services, but they're fearing of it going and asking for help. even to their local police department as to where to go because of their status. So now we can feel safe and say, well, you can contact this department and they should not, you know, detain you or do anything. However, of course, there's always that question mark as to whether they're doing it or not.
And how about you, Alicia? How is the Spanish Speaking Citizens Foundation helping folks deal with the emotional aspects of living under this current administration?
Well, the way we are, you know, coping with the stress is to try our best to create a place where immigrants feel welcome and where our programs help them to have a space where they can learn something and enjoy something. You know, I think that we humans can take only a certain amount of stress, and I think that really what the new administration is trying to do is to create more fear. And what we're doing is our best to help our community understand, well, you know, the reality is that things are not easy, but we must stay together and keep moving forward.
So how did you move forward?
I think that there is a lot of need to find ways to connect different movements. One thing that I think the conference where you and I saw each other last time, one thing that make it unique is that I think it's the first time that there is a conference where there is a combination of the Latin and the disabled movement.
What do you think, Michelle? What have we to do to move forward?
Well, I think that now it's more of that trust and that cohesiveness or collaboration among the communities, because I think they want us to be divided, especially now more than ever. And we shouldn't be divided. I think, if anything, we should come together and fight and resist. I know it might sound like a cliche, but it's true. I think we have to trust in each other and support each other and make sure that we understand that what happens to you happens to me. And I think that what happens is that a lot of the community partners or groups that we find out that they're really good groups and they do awesome work. But then when we as in groups that work with disability, they don't see us as part of. So we kind of have to push ourselves into those, like, no, I'm a part of the movement too. I'm affected by this too. And so when this happens, when we've been able to, like, break through, per se, I've seen genuine, like, oh, thank you, we didn't realize that it actually affects you the same it does us. So I think that's critical, that in a moment like this where we're all fighting, we're not fighting for our own selves. We have to be fighting for all of us together.
If you want to learn more about Alicia's organization, the East Bay Spanish Speaking Citizens Foundation, you can go to the website sscf.org. If you want to learn more about Access Living, the organization Michelle works at, go to accessliving.org. You should also check out the National Coalition for Latinxes with Disabilities at latinxdisabilitycoalition.com. This podcast is a production of the Disability Visibility Project. and all that humidity dedicated to creating, steering, and amplifying disability media and culture. All episodes, including the stress strips, are available at disabilityvisibilityproject.com/podcast. This episode was audio edited by Geraldine Asu. Introduction by Lindsay McLeod. Theme music by Wheelchair Sports Camp. You can support disabled media by subscribing to the Disability Visibility Podcast on iTunes and telling all your friends about it. You can also contribute a few bucks per month at our Patreon page at patreon.com/DVP. Because, hey, our labor has value. That's patreon.com/DVP. Thanks for listening, and see you on the internet. Adios.
Back into the blast stop, stop, drop, dance off.